Let us pray. O God, with gladness and expectation, we gather in this home of worship today. For you are the one who makes all things new. You are the one who satisfies our hunger and restores our soul. In this holy time and sacred space, help us, your daughters and sons, to know that you always love us. Through our worship today, help us to know that if we stray away from you, you are always ready to receive us with open arms. Prepare our hearts as we worship you, to welcome and embrace all of your children as you do us. With gladness and expectation, we pray in Jesus' name. Let the church say, Amen. Trusting the grace promised to us in Jesus Christ, let us confess our sins before God and one another, saying, Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forgive, cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from all false and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee a refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sisters and brothers, although at times it might be difficult to believe God is at work in us, with us, and through us, hear the promise of God. Confess our transgressions to our God who forgives the guilt of our sin. Even when we are still far off from what we called by God to be, our loving Holy Parent sees us as is filled with compassion. God rejoices over us. This child of mine was dead and is alive again, lost and is found. Thank be to God. Amen. Please join me in singing the hymn, Sing We of the Blessed Mother. Number 215 in your hymnal. Number 215.
Thank you. may take your seats. Good morning, and welcome to worship here at the Memorial Church, a space of grace in the center of Harvard Yard. And as I see the spring blossoms about to be in bloom, I'm reminded of my grandmother's favorite piece of scripture. She would say this every morning as she was rising out of bed. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We are so delighted to have you here with us. Whether you are joining us here in person or by listening on the radio or on the internet, you are a blessing to this community, and we are thankful for you, for you, for you. I am the Reverend Alana Sullivan, Associate Minister here, and stepping into our pulpit this morning is our very own Professor Jonathan L. Walton, Plummer Professor and Pusey Minister. Professor Walton, we look forward to hearing the good news that you have to share with us this morning. I now invite our church school teachers to come forward. We offer church school for children ages 3 to 13 downstairs during worship. I hear that our confirmation class today will actually be baking bread for us. Our children are taught by this dedicated, wonderful cohort of Harvard College students who are Corey background checked and are also filled with the Holy Spirit. They tend to our little precious ones in such a wonderful way. This week, I also wanted to let you know about two musical offerings that we have. We have a lunchtime organ concert, which is being performed by our very own Carson Kuman, composer in residence, on Tuesday. And on Thursday, we will be having our monthly Compline service. Both of these musical offerings are being offered during this season of theses being due and tax deadline looming. So take a moment, join us to sit, breathe, to feel the Holy Spirit from this wonderful music. And we hope that it will center you a little bit during this busy time of life. And please look at the bulletin and our website for all additional offerings about our music, services, and events. Brothers and sisters of Christ, Jesus calls us to welcome one another, to welcome the stranger, to welcome all who come through those doors. For Christ welcomed everyone, no matter their background, no matter their social status, no matter their political party, or their race, or their gender, or their sexual orientation. At the same table, Christ broke bread with enemies and friends and outcasts and leaders and foreigners and neighbors. So in the same fashion, let us open our hearts, our homes, and even our lives to one another. Let us share Christ's love with everyone that we meet. May the peace of Christ be with you. You may take your seats. Friends, our offering is a faith statement. By offering ourselves, our gifts, our treasures to God, we make a statement that we believe that what we do here in this space of grace, actually matters. It does make a difference in the world. And that with this offering, we will hasten the day when scarcity and deprivation will only exist in our memories. So may not only these gifts, but our very lives bear witness to the fact that there is justice for all who have been pushed aside, that there is hope for all who live in the shadows of power, that there is love for all who have been rejected, and there is healing for all that has been broken. The ushers will begin the collection from the back of the church and proceed forward. Let us give these offerings with the hope that they may enable others to feel immersed in God's love.
Be joyful in God, holy Lord. Please be seated. A reading from the book of Joshua, chapter 5, beginning in verse 9. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were encamped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes, and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. Here ends the lesson.
A reading from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning at the 16th verse. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Here ends the lesson.
Beloved friends, let us pray. In this season of repentance and healing, O God, may we accept your invitation to be ever mindful of the needs of others. Let us offer these prayers on behalf of your community, here in this church and in the wider world, closing each prayer with saying, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of love, open our hearts. Open our eyes to see those around us who feel unloved. To our neighbors who are from fractured families and broken homes. Those who are neglected, unwanted, and alone. We pray for our brothers and sisters who do not have enough. Enough heat in their homes, enough food to eat, enough clothes to cover their bodies, or enough justice. We trust you, O God, to fill the empty things with good things and to lift up the lowly. Help us to share the abundance we enjoy and to work for the freedom and dignity of all of your beloved children. We pray for all who are chronically homeless, wandering our streets and sleeping unprotected. Make us more determined to assist those who need a safe place to live, a hot meal to eat, and a warm hand to hold. Lord, in your mercy. Prince of Peace, we pray for all who live in places of threat and danger, whether it be in battle zones, in refugee camps, on the border, around the corner, or even in our own homes. You are able to make peace in the midst of warfare, and to turn rough places into level ground. However, Christ, this is not your work alone. You call us to be bridge builders and peacemakers. Teach us to prepare a table where enemies may feast instead of fight. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Spirit, may you be in our midst. May you be in the midst of love and concern. And may your spirit also be in the forgotten corners of our world and in our lives. We pray for those who suffer in body, mind, or heart. Spirit, you are able to heal in this life and in the next. Make us tender caregivers, that your healing power may be at work in us and through us. Lord, in your mercy. Lastly, God, we pray for the church, dividing and uniting, wavering and witnessing. You have called the church into being and have made us your body in and for this world. Keep your church from being both uncertain and too certain. Help us to joyfully trust that the Spirit is leading us into new opportunities of faith and service. Lord, in your mercy. Holy One, remind us of the amazing ways you have loved us, even when we have turned our backs on you. Open our hearts to receive your loving Spirit. Open our minds to receive your wisdom. And open our hands to show others your loving compassion. We pray this in the name of your beloved Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And will you please join me in saying the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Oh, The lesson's been read for your hearing from the book of Joshua and 2 Corinthians. For homiletic emphasis, Joshua chapter 5, verse 12. The manna ceased on the day that they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. With your prayers and the Holy Spirit's power, I'm going to speak for a few moments from the theme, A New Kind of Love. A new kind of love. Let us pray. Lord, we need your help. Amen. It's been said that the one constant in life is change. Life is ever evolving. Reality is ever shifting from the point of conception inside of our mother's womb to that moment when the bell ultimately tolls for us. Human life is in a constant state of flow and flux. Though few would dispute this fact, many remain uncomfortable with this truth. Change makes many of us skittish. Change makes us understandably anxious. Change thus causes us to dig in our heels and hold on to the vestiges of the past. We wax eloquently about the good old days that we incessantly moaned about during those days. We yearn for yesterday just as yesterday we yearned for yesterday. And we pine for an idealized past, which is often merely a coping mechanism. A coping mechanism as to not have to confront contemporary challenges that face us. Well, my brothers and sisters, if this sounds familiar, you are not alone. For the ancient stories of the Bible serve as a reflection of our deepest longing. Our existential angst, our immobilizing fears. Consider the sacred history of the Hebrews. We encounter a people whose lives were unpredictable, their futures were unforeseeable, and thus their walk with God was always uncertain. Read through the first five books of the Bible. Torah or the Pentateuch, and you will go on a roller coaster ride of restlessness and unpredictability. We meet a man named Abraham. And God promised Abraham and his wife Sarah in their old age that they would be the progenitors of a great people. Their descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the beach. So they, Abraham and Sarah, got up from their couches of contentment and got up from their pews of complacency. And in faith, they decided to step out on nothing, trusting that they were going to land on something. You all know how the rest of the story goes. Abraham and Sarah have Ishmael and Isaac. The preferred son, Isaac, and his wife, Rebekah, have twins, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob, the trickster. Jacob is the trickster who even wrestles with an angel of the Lord and declares, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And thus God changes his name to Israel. Israel, meaning one who strives and struggles with God. Jacob's life teaches us that struggling with God is part and parcel of what it means to have a life of faith. Along with his wives, Rachel and Leah, Jacob or Israel produces 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. And of these boys, one was special yet bullied. The bullies, his 11 brothers, sold him off into slavery in Egypt. But it was that special son, Joseph, who had unique gifts. And he climbed from the pits of imprisonment and enslavement to being a high official in Pharaoh's palace. And it was in Egypt where God's people multiplied. I'm trying to tell you, this is a story or a narrative of constant changing flow and flux. Once Joseph and all of the Hebrew people came and joined him in Egypt, and there they grew and multiplied and prospered, yet there arose a Pharaoh who knew not of Joseph. And that Pharaoh enslaved the Hebrew people for 400 years. Fortunately, Hebrew mothers kept singing to their children. They kept reciting legends of this sacred history to each generation. You are not an Egyptian slave, for you're God's chosen. For Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Hebrew mothers taught their children that there is a city. There's a city whose builder and maker is God. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. So, Father, we stretch our hands to thee. No other help we know. For if we ever withdraw thy hand from thee, whither shall we go? And it was the Hebrew women who kept teaching and praying and praying and teaching for 400 years until their prayers and God's power produced Moses. Moses led that wonderful slave revolt in Egypt. Moses' moral courage spoke God's truth to Pharaoh's power. Moses' prayers placed a highway through the Red Sea. Moses' faith led God's people all the way to the brink of God's promise. For it was Moses who looked over the River Jordan and could see the promised land that had been given to Abraham. Through twists and turns, through trials and tribulations, through challenge and constant change, God's promises remain true. God will never leave us nor forsake us. God just finds new ways to love us. Well, wouldn't this be wonderful if the story just ended here? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the story was that neat? Wouldn't it be incredible if we, as God's people, were so faithful? Wouldn't it be something that if with every trial and every unexpected twist and turn that befalls us in life, we could all just sing, I've got a feeling that everything's going to be all right. But we all know that life doesn't work that way. This is not how faith operates. In fact, the Hebrew people in this story are just like us. Like Jacob, we keep wrestling with God. We keep fighting with ourselves. For instance, we witness that the Hebrew people pray for God's blessing, yet they don't want to be burdened with too much responsibility. They pray for God to move in their lives, but they don't want to be made too uncomfortable. Anxiety creeps in. Excuses begin to take hold. Apprehension arrests our resolves. We start spiritualizing our sense of inadequacy. This sacred history, this narrative of challenge and triumph, this legend of walking with God through change, trials, and temptation to throw in the towel, that's your story. It's my story. an encounter with a God who keeps finding new ways to love us in spite of ourselves. Well, you know, Moses, I know you brought us up out of Egypt, but it's cold and dark out here. We aren't too sure about this whole promised land thing. I mean, at least we had security in Egypt. As a matter of fact, things weren't all that bad back in Egypt. We don't even know where we're going. Why don't we just turn around and go back? And what does God do? God leads them by a cloud by day and fire by night. Moses, you know we're kind of thirsty and hungry out here. You got us out here, we don't even know where our next meal's gonna come from. In Egypt, at least we had three hots and a cot. If nothing else in Egypt, we had the comfort of familiarity. It really wasn't that bad. I think we're good. We just gonna get on the next thing back to Egypt. What does God do? God pours water from a rock and manna to eat from the sky. They get all the way to the promised land. Moses sends spies to check out their new land. And what do they see and say? Moses, this opportunity is wonderful. You weren't lying to us. Everything we've dreamed of, it's everything we've worked for. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. We saw it for ourselves. But this thing is really difficult. As a matter of fact, the task looks too daunting. We look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And so therefore, we know we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. We can't do this, Moses. So I tell you what, we're just gonna remain here in this community where we've set up camp and we're kind of comfortable right now. But I can imagine an elderly Moses looking over into the promised land and singing like James Cleveland. I don't feel no ways tied, for I've come too far from where the Lord's brought me from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't believe that God's brought me this far to leave me. When we, my brothers and sisters, look back over our lives like the Hebrews in these stories, we see a God that keeps finding new ways to love us. Think of the trials that you've endured. Consider the changes that only made you stronger. Recall all the times that you failed, but you seemingly fell up. I can testify for myself that in spite of myself, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. And this is why the book of Joshua, after the death of Moses, after God takes the people across the Jordan River, after the people begin to settle in their new home and their new opportunity, God tells them that it's time. It's time for you to stop relying on the manna that pours from heaven. That was yesterday's meal. That was yesterday's provision. That was yesterday's blessing. But I've got a new way to love you. Eat the crops that are growing from up under your feet. You've got to let go of yesterday's reality in order to embrace tomorrow's opportunity. Dig and eat what I've placed around you. Let go of the past. The story has been told that there's a strategy of South African farmers who need to trap monkeys who come onto their property. It says that these South African farmers used to cut a small hole in a box just big enough for the monkey's hand. And then they would add the monkey's preferred comfort food of choice, such as nuts inside of the box. The monkeys would come and they would reach inside of the box, and then they would clench their fists around the nuts. And the clenched fists would be too large to pull back through the hole. And rather than letting go of the nuts, the monkeys will just pull and pull, holding on to the nuts until the farmer would swoop in and capture them. I asked this morning, how many of us are like those monkeys? We hold on to something so tight that we risk our ultimate freedom. We refuse to let go of the craving of yesterday in order to seize God's new opportunity. Well, the rich tradition of the Hebrew people has a message for us this morning. Change is inevitable, but growth is optional. Unclench your fists and open your hands to God's new love and opportunity.
Please stand as you are able to sing the hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah," hymn number 285 in your Crimson Harvard hymnal, hymn number 285.
Receive the benediction. But ask everybody that you would take both hands, hold them up, clench your fists, Think about whatever it is that you've been holding on to. Think about what it is that you're afraid of. Think about students, the anxiety of what's to come after you cross over Tercentenary Theater at commencement. Now open your hands. Receive the salvation and love of the Lord. Amen.